This is the Bears Barroom Radio Network, and the following is suitable for all audiences.
Ferguson looking longer! End zone! Touchdown! Anthony Miller's 10th grab for Pater.
Head coach Mike Norvell says this Anthony Miller is the hardest working good player he's ever been around. Man, look at those hands.
Does damage inside, probably best inside, but the guy's got an understanding in the field to run routes. He can survive on the outside, there's no doubt. When you've got the hands he does and the ability to separate, I think you can play and move anywhere, which to me gives you the versatility to move other people around as well, and I think that's where his value is. When Coach Nagy was describing to us the type of receivers they want, the versatility, this is the guy that comes to mind.
This is Bears on Tap. My name is Aldo Gandia, and you just heard Chicago Bears area scout Breck Ackley assess the play of wide receiver Anthony Miller, acquired via trade in the second round of this year's draft. Thank you, ChicagoBears.com, for the audio clip, and CBS Sports for the highlight. Joining me today is Danny Shimon, our lead Bears Barroom Draft Scout, to provide in-depth profiles on all seven of Ryan Pace's 2018 draft picks. If you head over to bearsbarroom.com, you can find Danny's detailed written scouting reports with supporting video. But he's here today to give us an update and answer my questions. Now, before we get to Danny, here's my opening thought. Here at Bears Barroom, we're working countless hours to try and bring you information and entertainment about our beloved Bears, and in return, you've bestowed us with many kind words and actions. Now, just in the past week, here are some of the tweets that we've received. Just a few tweets. George T. Ray wrote about Bears Hour Live with Draft Dr. Phil. Love this show, Phil and BG. Dustin Whitaker wrote about the last Bears 100 Proof. This episode is epic. I love it. And Jim Larrison added, check out this amazing episode at Bears Barroom Radio with guest Mike North. What a great show. These guys are killing it lately. Barflies like Nikki Kurtz, Bobby Phelan, and Jerry Kramer are always recruiting guests for our shows. And that's just naming three guys who do that. And then I got an invitation for lunch from Aaron from Chicago. He wants to buy me a beer and a burger at his new restaurant in downtown Chicago, Bill's Bar and Grill. Great stuff. And I apologize to the dozens of others whose names I have not singled out. Now, of course, it's not all positive feedback that we get, although for me, the mean-spirited comments are almost as valuable as the kind ones. For instance, this week I was made aware of a couple of attacks on Draft Dr. Phil. The attackers called him a clown, a phony, and went back and dug up some of Draft Dr. Phil's off-the-mark scouting assessments. These comments towards Draft Dr. Phil are a gift. I thank the author of those tweets. You see, Draft Dr. Phil does need to work on himself, as do I and just about anybody else I've ever encountered or spent some time with. And what I've learned about Draft Dr. Phil, that he too is like me in that comments like these are like jet fuel. He flies faster and with more power with each gallon of smack talk injected into him. He spends more time looking at tape. He's energized to produce more parody and original songs. He becomes more inspired to bring on guests like Bears defensive lineman John Jenkins and former head of scouting Greg Gabriel. And his performance as an analyst just gets better, which is why Greg Gabriel invited Phil onto WSCR Radio 670 The Score after day three of the draft to assess the Bears' picks. That's The Score Sports Radio, one of the biggest sports radio stations in America, on perhaps the most important weekend night of the off-season for football fans. That's not the stuff of phonies. That's the stuff of someone who works hard at his passion and harder at overcoming his faults. which is why I am proud to call him my friend and business partner. As promised, Danny Shimon is with me. Danny, how are you?
Great, man. Just getting ready to wrap up this 2018 draft, take a little bit of a break, and then start working on the 2019 draft.
You know what? You're right. It just never stops. And I'm sure that at the top of your list for looking at potential players for the Chicago Bears in 2019 are going to be pass rushers, and pass rushers, right?
And this next upcoming draft is going to be a defensive line in the front seven. So it should have quite a few pass rushers come available. Hopefully the Bears are not picking high, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But if they're unfortunate, they do get a high selection again next year, they should definitely have a nice crop of pass rushers to pick from.
You know, I still have very high expectations that Vic Fangio is going to manufacture a pass rush with the players he has on this roster. And I know for sure that Ryan Pace is going to find some help in that veteran free agent bargain bin and with players that are going to be cut and the few players that are out there. I mean, even if he brings back Lamar Houston, it will be beneficial. You know, let's all remember that he had 3 sacks in 4 games at the end of last season, and so he still has something in his motor. But are you in agreement with me that Fangio is going to be able to manufacture some type of a pass rush, even if we are forced to go with the hand that we're dealt?
The thing about Fangio, he doesn't like to blitz a lot. He likes to use his front, you know, front 3 or 4 guys to get to the passer. So if no additions are made pre or post training camp, I think he's going to have to start doing some more blitzing. And so that'll be interesting to see how that dynamic works out. But I know that, you know, I've been scouring the free agent wire and seeing, is there anyone out there that could come in and, you know, besides Lamar Houston? And I know Will Young's been thrown out there as a possibility. I just don't know how much those two really have left. Houston, like you said, did impress in the last 3 or 4 games of the end of last season. So maybe he's an option. I'd keep my eye, and I know we've talked about this before, Shane Ray's fifth-year option was not picked up by Denver. Mm-hmm. They not only have, obviously, Von Miller, they took Bradley Chubb, and they also signed the guy I really wanted the Bears to try and get later in the rounds, Jeff Holland, the kid out of Auburn,
right,
as an undrafted free agent. So they also have Shaq Barrett as well. So they have quite a bit of surplus of pass rushers. So maybe there's a trade possibility there. Maybe one of those guys gets cut. And the Bears can, you know, jump on and pick those guys up. So keep an eye on the Denver situation. There may be someone there that could fit on this Bears roster. But other than that, I mean, free agent-wise, you know, I haven't seen anybody out there that really would, you know, sticks out. And I would say, all right, let's bring them on. Let's sign them or anything like that. But the one thing we've got to keep in mind is you know, Roquan Smith, although he's not known as a pass rusher, he is very effective at getting at the quarterback via the blitz. So, and then, of course, you know, Cali Fitz is another kid they picked up later on in the draft. So we'll talk about those guys later on. But, you know, this group can help a little bit in the pass rush. But if we're looking for that, you know, 10-sack guy, we don't have it on our team. And again, Leonard Floyd is also a big question mark right now. He hasn't had a big sack season yet. You know, he's trending upwards but coming off an injury. So, you know, that pass rush is vital right now coming into training camp.
Yeah, it seems to me, you know, the more and more I ruminate about this defense, it seems to me like this defense could be a really great defense and be sort of in that old Miami Dolphins defense of on the no-name defense, where aren't any great stars on the defense, but collectively they get the job done, and that's going to be primarily due to what Vic Fangio concocts with his blitz schemes and new approaches towards beating the division foes, because that's a big part of it. You know, Vic Fangio, one of the sound bites that I just keeps echoing in my mind is that he said at the end of the season, we've got to get the players we already have to play better because they have more to give. And I right. would say the same thing about Vic Fangio, that he has more to give too in terms of innovating and manufacturing blitzes and sacks and pass disruptions and so forth. And I think that because he's got so many veterans returning, that there's going to be a higher level of confidence in him taking some chances on certain things. I think one of the things that Fangio, as you noted earlier, he doesn't like to blitz a lot because he just doesn't like to gamble too much. He'd rather play it safe and you know, bend but not break. So we'll see. It's going to be fascinating.
We can't forget that they have Aaron Lynch here, and he was very productive under Vic Fangio this two seasons with the 49ers. So, you know, he could be a guy that, you know, a lot of us are kind of just overlooking, but that's a kid that could come on and play well. Went to Notre Dame, obviously, had some off-the-field issues, so on and so forth. I guess his biggest thing and his biggest knock in San Francisco was motivation. Mm-hmm. You know, apparently after Vic left, and he just didn't click with the coaching staff, and it just looked like he was not interested, and from what, you know, reports that, you know, we read here. So that's a guy that could be the little diamond in the rough there. And I know Phil has talked about Howard Jones. He likes him a lot as mm-hmm. well. And then also the Isaiah Irving, the kid, the rookie from last year, undrafted free agent, that also kind of played a little bit, but then got hurt. So there's some guys to keep an eye on.
Hopefully, Mr. Floyd, as Hakeem Hicks said on our show, you know, maybe it's his time to step up and be that Pro Bowl player. All right, so let's get into this 2018 draft class. I want to begin, of course, with the first round draft pick. Everybody is excited. I mean, it's unanimous. The Bears hit a home run with this first pick of Roquan Smith. I got some more audio to play from ChicagoBears.com, and thanks to them for letting us use this. Sam Somerville talked a little bit about what the feeling was like in the draft room about 30 minutes before the Bears pick was up. Listen to this, and then Danny and I will talk about Smith's strengths and weaknesses.
Everybody's heart was beating so fast up all the way up until right before we picked. I mean, we started hearing that there was a trade and somebody was going up in front of us, and everybody was really nervous. And then when they didn't take our guy, we were just so excited. I mean, the place erupted and everybody's cheering. It was a great feeling. It was like winning a big game.
I was excited. I didn't get my guy, Quentin Nelson. Everybody's tired of hearing me say that. But, you know, that was outside of Bradley Chubb. That was, you know, the right choice. Saquon Barkley would have been great to have on the team, but that was not a position of need. The inside linebacker position, as you and I talked off on the telephone a couple of weeks before the draft, you told me, you know what, a lot of people aren't talking about the need at inside linebacker. We have a huge need at inside linebacker, Aldo, and it was addressed in this draft with Roquan Smith. You've seen tape on him. You issued a report on BearsBarroom.com about his strengths and weaknesses. Give us the highlights of what you saw.
Yeah, I mean, definitely a home run pick. This was the guy that I was rooting for to be the, you know, the eighth overall selection for the Bears. This kid is a three-down linebacker. He is a sideline-to-sideline playmaker. I've been on here before, and I've said the same things over and again. Possesses the speed, instincts, and awareness. You know, he's terrific in coverage. Like I said, he will be a three-down linebacker. He will not have to get off the field. He will give Vic Fangio his version of Patrick Willis, the one he had in the linebacker he had in San Francisco. So now he has his Navarro Bowman and Patrick Willis combination with the Bears here. And with Fangio, a lot of his defensive the strengths are up the middle, right? So he's got a Goldman up front along with Hicks, and then we got now the two middle linebackers in the middle that are going to be able to range not only in coverage but also in run support. So his ability to shoot the gaps, get to the running, get to the ball carrier, drop him for a loss is huge. And he's impeccable. He has impeccable timing on his blitzes. He will just, you know, he'll wait, and then he'll just shoot through the gap and get to the quarterback more often than not. Even if he doesn't get there, he'll rush the quarterback, and he'll knock him. He'll knock him down. He'll make him feel it. He is by far he was by far the best player available for them to take at that pick, and I am glad they took him.
Now, one of the weaknesses you listed in your scouting report was that he had marginal ball skills. He recorded no interceptions and had only three passes defensed at Georgia. But the little bit of tape that I saw, boy, it seems like he's got the coverage skills to stay with just about any running back coming out of the backfield and gets downfield in a hurry. So when you say marginal ball skills, you're not talking about coverage. You're talking about what?
Interception, actual getting the ball, you know, picking off the ball, you know, getting his hands on the ball, you know, downfield on coverage. It, you know, it could be that his guy is so well covered, the quarterback never threw his way. That could be an issue as well there. So It's just for a guy who played as much as he did, I'd like to see him at least get, you know, an interception or two here or there. But, you know, again, his weaknesses, I'll admit I was nitpicking here and there. Mm-hmm. No one's a perfect prospect, so you got to find, you know, something really that bothered me about him. And that was one of the things that really bothered me was the fact that he didn't have an interception or that many, you know, passes deflected. That was really the issue that I saw, other than, you know, obviously the fact that, you know, he doesn't have the ideal height and length that you would like to have, the adequate play strength, but everything else is all, you know, superb in terms of awareness, instincts, tackling ability, speed, short area quickness, burst. Everything else is top notch. So I wouldn't worry about it a lot. You know, I predict he'll have an interception or two before his career ends with the Chicago Bears. So I don't think that'll be an issue. That's just the one area that I just noticed and stuck out to me, that he didn't have any interceptions whatsoever at college.
I agree with you. I mean, I think in terms of getting turnovers, he'll have his a fair share by the time his career is over. The one thing, though, that does concern me, and you listed it in your weaknesses, is you wrote he needs to be kept clean by his defensive line. And right. I remember that was like the same issue with Brian Urlacher. Brian Urlacher really needed those huge defensive tackles in front of him in order for him to play at his peak, particularly in the first few years of his career. Now, right. Smith is playing in a 3-4, so he doesn't have the benefit of two big defensive tackles there. So how does that work in a 3-4 and trying to keep Roquan Smith so that he can do his thing?
When you play a 3-4, typically – And Fangio is a little bit more different. Fangio is more of a up the field defense. Typical 3-4s, the defensive line, they call two gap. So they get the first move is to, you know, stun the blocker and then play both gaps on either side of the blocker, and that way to see where the guy's going, and they can go and play that gap. So what they do here is you got to occupy a blocker. You got to, you know, Eddie Goldman's, the Bullards, the Akeem X have to be able to occupy blockers. So that way they don't get out into the second level and get to Roquan. Where Roquan's issue is, like I said, his play strength isn't great. So, you know, if a big long blocker gets their hands on him, they can keep him blocked, right? So his strength is his speed and quickness, his shiftiness. He's able to slip and avoid a lot of times these blockers and still get to the ball carrier. You know, Urlacher, when he first started, remember, he was a converted safety. Mm-hmm. So he was kind of learning the whole tricks of the trade, if you will. So, you know, when Ted Washington and Traylor were up front, you know, they would occupy those guys and just let Urlacher flow to the football, basically with no one in front of him. And his speed and his athleticism and his size would be able to go and get the ball carrier. And that's why he kind of, you know, developed the other part of the skills to be able to shed and take on blockers later on in his career. But initially, yeah, he had to be kept clean just to, you know, run to the ball carrier and not, you know, have his path impeded by any blocker. So that's what I meant by that, you know. But Roquan already plays the position. He is very good at slipping and going around blockers, especially if they're on the move trying to come at him. He has a good job of dipping his shoulder, getting around them, and still getting to the ball carrier. That's why I put that in there is because if a guy comes full steam towards him and gets his hands on him, there's a chance that they could, you know, pretty much wipe him out of the play. So, and that's where play strength and the ability to stack and shed comes in.
The other thing that excites me about Roquan Smith, and you detail it in your scouting report, is what he's going to do to help in pass coverage. I got to believe that the defensive backs are going to be playing better football in 2018, these returning defensive backs, because of the presence of Roquan Smith. Am I right?
What he does is him and Trebathon, I mean, they are guys who can drop back and cover a lot of grass, you know, in the back, middle half of the field. So with his ability to drop back and cover that area of the field, there's less of there's of a chance that the middle of the defense will be susceptible to, you know, crossing routes and the guys dumping in right in front of the, you know, right in front of the or right behind the linebackers or right in front of them. So yeah, his ability. Now, obviously, the cover guys got to be able to get downfield and cover downfield.
Sure.
But I'm just talking about in the middle of the field, where from sideline to sideline, these guys can drop back and they have a lot of, you know, a lot of range where they can go and take on even, you know, like Roquan can take a running back out of the backfield and cover him. You know, if he's running down the sideline on a wheel route, he can run step for step with a running back. So the way they're going to be utilizing coverage is something that I like to see how Vic Fangio does it. But yeah, their ability to cover and cover a lot of space, a lot of ground in the middle of the field will give the Bears a better option, you know, to in terms of pass defense.
Excellent. All right, let's move on to the second round draft pick, and that's James Daniels, the interior lineman from Iowa. I am so happy and relieved that Ryan Pace got this guy, because I've just been scared crapless of you know, the protection issues for Mitchell Trubisky. I don't want to see the same thing happen to Mitchell Trubisky that I've seen so for so many other Chicago Bears quarterbacks, and that is he gets annihilated because he doesn't have the pass protection. And with the interior of the offensive line being so important now for pass protection, it was great that Pace got his man at James Daniels. Tell me what you saw in terms of strengths for James Daniels.
Right away, it jumps off at you is his size and his athleticism. And he's got the long arms, which, you know, for a center, typically you don't really need those. Usually the guys with the short arms go, you know more towards the inside. But he's got the length, he's got the athleticism, the arm length, and he's great in space, meaning that he can move laterally and still block. So that's why when we were talking about pre-draft about Quinn and Nelson and some of the other, you know, offensive linemen coming out, is with this new staff, they want movers. They want guys who not only can create movement off the line of scrimmage, you know, 2-3 yards, knock the guy backwards, but they also want to be able to, guys who can move laterally, guys who can get out and pull and trap and lead the running back through the hole. And the athleticism that Daniels has, speed and quickness, is something that I thought would fit into this new scheme. And that's what they went ahead and they drafted the kids to do that. Now, I thought they were going to put him at center and move Whitehead to guard, but looks like they're going to do the opposite. They're going to put him at left guard and keep Whitehead at center. So which is probably a good thing, because, you know, Whitehead and Trubisky had, you know, 12 games last year together. And, you know, the center and quarterback exchange is very, very vital. So keeping him there is probably how they're going to – that's why they probably started off, just to keep everything normal and more traditional for Trubisky. But if there's an injury or whatnot, Daniels can easily slide into center and not miss a beat there.
And that's exactly what Matt Nagy talked about with James Daniels, was his versatility. This is what he told the media after day three when he and Pace sat down and talked about the draft picks.
Again, yeah, he did play – he playing center, and the initial thought is, okay, he's going to be a center, but we look at him as a really good interior offensive lineman. So to start, you know, he's going to start out at the guard position. We'll see how that goes. And we've made a real big focus point on competition. We're all crazy if we don't believe in good competition. So every one of those offensive linemen, he's only going to make each and every one of those better. There's motivation for them. He'll come in here, and he's looking forward to getting started.
That is huge, isn't it? The fact that all of a sudden, now with the pick of Daniels, we have depth at the offensive line, something that I was concerned about. Now, all of a sudden, just the offensive line takes a whole new complexion because you've got that versatility of a James Daniels who can play center and offensive guard.
You can dress an extra person now on game days. So you don't have to dress just a guy who plays center or just a guy who can play guard. You can dress an extra tackle if you want, or a different position, a defensive player if you want, because Daniels can play multiple positions along the offensive line. I think he'll be able to play possibly all three positions, you know, within the interior, both guard positions and center. That's a huge advantage for them to have, you know, is be able to dress an extra player, because this guy can play both positions. And the same thing with Whitehair. Whitehair can play guard and center as well. So that's terrific flexibility there that they have now on game days. And you know, Daniels is the only thing I like in my offensive lineman is he flashes a mean streak, meaning he will finish his blocks. You know, he'll pancake a guy and he'll just sit on top of him. You know, there are a lot of guys, they'll drop a guy on, they'll just let him get up and, you know, continue on. No, this guy will just finish his blocks, which I love. You know, he comes from a college in Iowa where, you know, the head coach, Kirk Ferentz, is well respected within NFL circles for producing, you know, quality offensive linemen. So you know he's going to be well coached and well prepared. Terrific pick. You know, a guy that should have or was projected to go in the first round, you know, falls in the second round, and that's probably because of the fact that he's got some medical red flags on his knee. He missed a lot of practices and a couple of games each the last 2 years because of that knee. So I think that's why he dropped in the second round. But if that knee checks out fine, you know, we got a kid who's very versatile, athletic, plays with a mean streak, and well coached. So, you know, this is another terrific selection.
Now, regarding Hronis Garasu, the one thing that really scared me about him when he came out and the Bears drafted him in the third round, I think it was, three seasons ago, was his play strength. Are we going to have the same concern here with James Daniels?
That's the one thing that does concern me was Daniels' play strength. Now, Garasu came out, I believe, was it 290 pounds or 295 pounds when he came out of Oregon. And I mean, they're notorious for having really, you know, light, skinny, you know, offensive linemen, you know, back then. But, you know, Daniels is 306 pounds currently, expecting to get bigger and stronger. He's only 20 years old. So he legally cannot buy a drink in Chicago until September. So we got to just keep that in mind. He's still developing, still growing into his body, you know, expecting to get stronger. But the one thing I did notice on tape is he does get knocked back a lot. You know, meaning that the defensive lineman got into his chest and knocked him back 2-3 yards, which kind of had me question is his play strength. So that's the one knock that I did, you know, notice and highlighted in my report on Daniels was his play strength and something that he will need to, you know, work on and get stronger. So but in terms of, you know, technically or anything else, athletically and all that stuff, everything, you know, checks off. I hope it's not as bad as Garasu, because I mean, I remember Garasu that first or second preseason game, and he was just bowled back into the quarterback's lap, and I was like, oh, this is going to be a long season for this kid. So actually, you know, Garasu, I mean, I don't know if he even has a shot at making this roster now. So that's another thing. If he balls out in the preseason, that could be a guy who might be able to be a trade chip for Ryan Pace to be able to, you know, flip for maybe another player, a draft pick or whatnot down the line. Because I mean, with both Whitehair and Daniels on this roster, you have your, you know, primary center and your backup center on the roster. So I think Hronis Garasu's days on this roster might be numbered.
Yeah, you know, I always worry about that, the extra preseason game when the Bears have five this season. But it could be a blessing in disguise, because it's going to allow some of these players like Hronis Garasu to show whether or not this guy can play at the NFL level. And all of a sudden, if he makes a dramatic leap in his play, then maybe, yeah, he does become a trade chip for a sixth or seventh rounder. Hey, I'll take anything I can for Garasu. It would be a blessing in disguise if guys like Garasu, and I've actually started a list of some players who could potentially benefit from that fifth preseason game. So he's definitely on there. I totally agree with you. I don't think number 55, Hronis Garasu, is going to be a member of the Chicago Bears. So, but I do wish that he plays well and that he ends up having an NFL career and that the Bears get a draft pick for him.
Right. That's the one thing he does, is he's so limited. He's only limited to one position.
Yeah, that's the thing.
And if you're not going to be the starter at that position, you got to be versatile and flexible. And the fact that he can't play guard, either guard position, you know, besides center, that really handcuffs them. And what I was talking about earlier on game days, you know, you can't just dress a guy who just plays center, you know. So now you have two guys who can play center and play guard, which gives them tremendous flexibility.
All right. One of the players I was most excited about heading into this draft, and the Bears got him, was wide receiver Anthony Miller. Part of the reason I was so excited about him was just listening to you talk about him. So I get the benefit of listening to you talk about Anthony Miller again. Tell me why you love this kid so much.
Oh, man. Going back to our previous podcast, I mean, you guys know how much I love this kid. This is the guy I caught my eye when I was watching him play against UCLA. And, I mean, the kid just dominated. And he's going up against, you know, a Power 5 school. And then I just, you know, started doing more digging into his background, and loved the, you know, the competitiveness, you know, the motivation, the chip on his shoulder. And then I started watching more of his tape, and I'm like, this kid is just, you know, like, he's ferocious. He's vicious. You know, he's not a big kid by any means. He's 5'11", 202 pounds, but he plays bigger. So what I mean by that is he has no fear. He'll go across the middle. He'll go up and try and get a contested ball. He makes the one-handed catches. He wants the ball. You know, he's a big-time playmaker. So to a point where, you know, some people have called him cocky or too arrogant or a diva or whatnot. Hey, show me a prime wide receiver who's not a diva, who's not cocky, who doesn't want the ball all the time, you know, and I'll show you a guy who's probably going to be a bust, right? So this kid, the drive, the competitiveness, the motivation, the way he plays the game, everything about him I loved. And then, you know, not to mention his quickness and then his ability to quickly eat up grass with the cushion that the cornerback gives him, stack the corner, and then separate vertically is something the Bears haven't had in a long time. A lot of times you'd see the corner give him space because they're afraid of getting beaten deep. And what he would do is he would just drive him. As soon as he saw that guy either flip or turn his head to try and run with him, he would just stop and come back to the ball. He's got an easy 10, 12-yard catch, first down, next, let's move the chains. So this is a kid the only reason I was bummed about the James Daniels selection, the only reason it was because they were not going to get Anthony Miller. So I was like, oh, man, I really wanted to get Anthony Miller. And then when they traded back into the second round, I'm like, all right, what's going on here? And then when he said Anthony Miller, I was like ecstatic. I'm like, yes, they got themselves a playmaking wide receiver.
Yeah, and another reason why I'm excited because I keep hearing the name Antonio Brown when it comes.
I write my notes down. I'm scouting these kids. I just say, all right, I'm just trying to get I'm not saying they're going to be this kind of player, but I just want to get an idea of what I'm looking at, what I kind of see happening. And one of the first things I put down when I watched Anthony Miller was Antonio Brown. And that's because of the quickness, the short area burst, the speed. I mean, he could, if you line him up in a slot, you give him a two-way go, he can easily separate from a cornerback in the middle of the field and get open. And it's something that, and he can step outside, he can take, a goal, play the X and play outside the numbers, and he can take a cornerback, we'll go across the middle, we'll beat him deep. I mean, he can run the routes, so he's got the quickness, doesn't have the blazing speed, but he's got good enough speed. And we had mentioned one of our post-draft podcasts, his numbers, his combine numbers athletically, were better than Antonio Brown's at the combine. So very, very pumped up and excited about Anthony Miller as a future Chicago Bear.
I want to play this soundbite again we did during our draft weekend. It's Matt Nagy talking about Miller's route running. I want to play it and then have you decipher what it is Coach Nagy is referring to.
With Anthony, you see a guy that at the top of his route, he likes to stick the top of the route, and it's sharp. So what that does is that sets the angle for the quarterback. And you don't see that from every wide receiver. So there's a violent move for him to be able to set angles, whether it's a slant route, a post route, an out route, et cetera. He's aggressive with it, and I think that fits his style of play.
Help me understand exactly what he's talking about there.
It's basically creating separation at the top of his route. So he plays so fast, so hard, and he said violent, but he plays really 100% all the time. So when he goes and does a head nod or he sticks and fakes one side to go to the other side, the corner bites. So he does it so quickly, so violently, to use Nagy's terms. And he just, the corner bites one way, leans one way, and all of a sudden, next thing you know, he's open going the opposite way. So he creates so much separation at the top of his routes. It's another thing that really caught my eye when you study his tape is, he's not necessarily just a speed guy, just runs one route at all, just a nine route or the goal route. I mean, he can stick it, cut on a dime, whether it's inside, outside, really just creates that separation at the top of his route. Now, once the quarterback knows this, he knows what route Miller is going to run, and he can just place it at a spot. He knows Miller is going to create separation, and next thing you know, you got a completion, and his run after the catch is even better. So he can take a 5-yard slant, and he can go 15, 20, 35 yards down the field. So that suddenness, that quickness, that quick change of direction that he has really is what caught my eye, and it got me thinking Antonio Brown here. So it falls in line with what I was watching on tape as well.
Now, you scout dozens and dozens of receivers. Is this a trait in a young receiver coming out of college that you rarely see, and it's something that is more likely developed in the pros?
Some players, they can be taught how to run a route, but for him, he just has that natural explosiveness within his body that he can just, you know, stop and cut on a dime and create that instant separation. Not everyone can do that, right? So, for example, Calvin Ridley was one of the, you know, a top receiver in this draft, on all the boards. He's a guy who's got, you know, doesn't have a tremendous amount of speed as well. I think he runs a 4.5 40, similar to what Miller does. But and he's known as a good route runner. But Miller's ability to separate at the top of his route is different than Ridley's. I think Miller has more explosiveness. He could, you know, do that violent cut as opposed to Ridley. I think he kind of builds into that cut. So both are going to be, you know, successful receivers, but I just love Miller's game in terms of that aspect of it, the route running, the sharpness of his routes, the cuts, more so than Ridley's. But just the body type, the way he is, and again, the competitive juices that he has, the chip on his shoulder, you know, the walk-on in Memphis and so on and so forth. So definitely looking forward to seeing this kid progress as a Chicago Bear. I've just talked this kid up so much now. I just hope that he's as good as I'm saying he is. But I have no worries though. I mean, this kid is, I believe, is going to be a chance to be a star in the making.
That is awesome. You know what, Danny? We're actually talking about a Chicago Bears team that has a head coach with an offensive mentality that works in the NFL. I mean, we had an offensive coach in Mark Trestman, but the guy was, you know, he was not a leader of men, and he was out of the NFL for so long. It just didn't work for many reasons. But now we have a head coach with an offensive mentality, an innovative coaching style. We have a quarterback who has shown tons of promise and, for me, has the number one quality necessary to be a quarterback in the NFL, and that is accuracy, especially when throwing on the run. And then number three, we've got wide receivers now, like an Anthony Miller, who can create separation just intrinsically, just on their own without being taught. Wow. Time to get excited, huh?
It's a little different Chicago Bears there, right?
Oh, my goodness.
This is going to be, and don't forget, Nag is a pass first, you know, play caller. So, you know, expect to see the Bears start off every game probably in three receiver sets. You know, they'll mix in, you know, the two or three tight end packages as well. But I mean, this is going to be a pass heavy offense, and I think they're, you know, with the West Coast, typically with the West Coast offense going back to the days of Bill Walsh, they use the pass as an extension of the running game. So, you know, a bubble screen here, a slip screen here will be a 2-3 yard game, but that's like a 2-3 yard run for them. So this is going to be something, you know, knock on wood, everyone gets and stays healthy. This is going to be something that we have not seen here in quite a while. That Mark Trestman offense that first year was pretty explosive with, you know, Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey and those guys. But this is going to be different. I think this is a more sustainable offense, something that's actually going to probably grow as the years and the games go on. So, you know, young guys that are going to kind of all, you know, mature together and learn each other and just expect them to get better and better and better as the seasons go by here.
Great stuff. All right.
One thing about Miller, I just real quick, one thing about Miller is he is so aggressive that he's always looking to catch and turn up field. Uh-huh. And that leads to some drops, you know, that, so you'll see, yeah, you know, a couple of drops just because he's really, really aggressive. And like a concentration, you'll see the ball. He doesn't have the ball secured yet, and he's already looking upfield with his eyes. So, you know, because he's always trying to catch it and create. So that's one thing he needs to work on, is just to make sure secure the catch first. And I think he will. You know, that's something he's going to go into. If you see him drop a couple balls in preseason, just know that this kid is really super aggressive, and he really wants to, you know, make plays after the catch. So that's the only one thing I would say about him is just there are too many drops. Just because of his over-aggressiveness and just lack of concentration at times.
Very good. All right, we've got four more players to cover. We move to the fourth round with the 115th pick, Ryan Pace, selected this linebacker from Western Kentucky. His name is Joel Iebunue. I did it again. I don't think I've screwed it up yet, but
you do it so well. I'm just going to let you do it. I'll call him Iggy, to keep it nice and clean here. But this was the one pick that kind of raised my eyebrows. I'm like, okay. I mean, I knew about Joel watching him on tape. He was one of the linebackers I was looking at. But I saw him more as a 4-3 weak side linebacker. Think more on the lines of Lance Briggs, you know, Derek Brooks, guys who are fast and be able to get to the ball carrier. Don't have to go through, take on a lot of blockers and so on and so forth. So I saw him more in that aspect, because if you look at him, you put on a tape, right? And you're like, oh, this guy looks like a in the box safety. You know, he's only 229 pounds, 6'1". Wears number 4, so it's a skinny number. He's a skinny kid, but he's got definition. So he's not like he's a rail out there. But what he does is he's got the ability, the speed, and the ability to change directions to be a run and chase linebacker. So he's a guy, another guy we talked about earlier with Roquan, who would need to be kept clean to be able to just, you know, see ball, hit ball kind of thing, that's the one thing. But I see him, how he's going to fit in next year. Well, he'll provide depth at linebacker, because when we lost our starters last year, we brought in the backups, the team speed on defense, you saw that it was lacking. With this kid, he's got, very good speed, like I said, change of direction ability. He'll be able to, and he also cover as well. So, he'll be able to, provide some of that speed, so that way there isn't a big drop off if we lose one of our starters. But the other thing, I think he'll be a bigger impact would be on special teams. He's a pretty good special teams player as well. So the eyebrow was raised not because of I don't think he can play. I just thought maybe there was a pass rusher, maybe they go there in that direction. But the kid can play. I just was surprised that he was the 4th round pick. Actually, I think in this, if we go back and take a look, Detroit jumped ahead of the Bears right before they made a trade to take Deshaun Hand, the defensive end from Alabama. I wonder if the Bears were looking at that kid, Deshaun Hand, and Detroit jumped him. They heard about it, jumped him, took Hand, and then that's why then the Bears just went to the next best available, and then they took their defensive lineman later on in the 5th round with Bilal.
Okay, interesting, huh? And you mentioned Iggy playing in special teams. This is what scout Sam Somerville said about Iggy immediately contributing to special teams.
He is going to be a four-phase guy. I'm sure Coach Tabor is fired up about getting this guy, because he's just going to be able to run down on kickoff. He'll be one of the inside guys. We used to call them wedge busters, but now, they've kind of eliminated the wedge in the game. But he'll be one of those guys there. He'll be a good interior guy on punt team, also punt return, and he'll just be a solid core contributor for us there.
This special teams unit for the Bears is – going to probably have a whole new look in 2018, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, in terms of the types of athletes they're going to have playing, on special teams, in terms of returner, we're still going to have the same returner. But also, don't forget, the new coach was a disciple of Dave Tobe.
Dave Tobe, yeah.
Yeah. So Chris Tabor, I believe, is the new special teams coach, that's coordinator's name. And so he was the disciple of Dave Tobe. He was somewhat mildly successful as a special teams coach in Cleveland. So I think this will be hopefully a much improved unit, a unit that the Bears can rely on to help them get that, a field position that their new, fast, aggressive attacking offense can take advantage of. We were talking about the pass rush, right? What better way to generate a pass rush when all you have to do is just pin your ears back and go after the passer? So if you get a lead, you get the field position, you get to put points on the scoreboard. Now you tell the defensive lineman, right, just go after this quarterback and let's get these sacks. So that's another way we could probably hopefully improve that pass rush.
I spoke with a sports reporter and anchor out of Bowling Green, out of WBGL TV. His name is Dominique Yates. He posted a video of Iggy thanking the people from Bowling Green, and he told me some stories about Iggy growing up, because this guy's been following since his high school years, and you know, he was a scrawny kid and just saw him work really, really hard at getting into top flight shape and overcome injuries and so forth. So Yates posted this video of Iggy thanking the people from the Bowling Green community. So I want to play that for you and then listen to Dominique Yates talk a little bit about Iggy.
The entire Bowling Green community, I can't name every single person from the early days of Rich Pond Elementary to Drake's Creek High School or Middle School to South Warren High. And then, of course, at Western, thank you for everybody who's made an impact on me, who's reached out to me. I've had so many prayers. People tell me they prayed for me. They wish me the best of luck. Every single person, thank you. Thank you for the memories. The ride's been fun, man, and you know, I'm excited to start this new chapter, but just know I always got love for you. You know, I'm gonna come back anytime I can and say hi to everybody. So thank you. You're greatly appreciated.
And Joel looked like he was breaking up there a little bit towards the end of the interview. Yeah. Getting emotional. Tell us what you witnessed.
That tells you all you need to know about Iggy. He's one of the nicest, most down to earth, just all around great guys that I've got to know in my time in Bowling Green. And he is the guy that, as you saw in that video, he is forever appreciative and indebted to the Bowling Green community, his high school. He mentioned, you know, his elementary school, middle school, and his college, because the people that supported him from day one, you said that didn't go unnoticed. So I'll say it again. Joel Yabuniway, he is one of my all-time favorite players I have covered. And he has been the same guy. The guy that he was a junior in high school is the same guy that is now a Chicago Bear in the NFL. So just like many other people, I'm a huge supporter of him. And I wish him just an unbelievable career in the NFL. But Chicago will absolutely love him. I can promise you that.
Great to hear that character reference for a player that you drafted. And I know that scouts, part of their job is to talk to reporters and talk to people in the community and get intelligence about what this player is and who he is and how he behaves and has he been in any trouble and so forth. So when they got when they did the intel on Iggy, boy, the guy aced it, huh?
Yeah, I mean, you can just tell that the kid really wants it. You know, he really has a passion and a drive for the game. You know, he's not doing it because, you know, he's 6'4 and 252 pounds, and this is his way to, you know, to make a living for himself. I mean, this guy really wanted it. I mean, when he started, you know, this guy was a basketball player, right, in high school, and basically used football just to kind of stay in shape. And then, you know, when he got to start playing football, he just, you know, was a running back, linebacker / safety. You know, and when he went to Western Kentucky as a linebacker, and then they played him as a safety, and then they played him as outside linebacker. So the one year, you know, then he got hurt, and then the next year he played outside linebacker, and then last year they moved him to inside, and that's when he had, you know, the big year, the 117 tackles, you know, 11 and a half tackles for loss, 2 sacks. He still had a year of eligibility remaining, mm-hmm. at Western Kentucky, and decided to forego his you know, senior season and come into the draft. So definitely a high character kid, someone who, you know, football is important to him. And it's something that you noticed doing some backgrounds on all these guys. A lot of these guys were either, the guys the Bears drafted were either, you know, captains on their teams, or they were part of the leadership committee on their team. So these are guys who had high football character, which is very important. Especially, you know, like if you see some of the stuff that's going on these days with some of these draft picks and some of the off the field stuff, you know, you definitely don't want that kind of stuff, you know, especially on high picks, like, you know, first, second, third, fourth round picks, guys who you expect to come in and contribute, if not starters, and definitely on special teams.
I'm telling you, this Bears locker room, you know, you're talking about entering a locker room where you got guys who have studying to be pediatricians, and Roquan Smith is studying to be, I think it's an economist or something like that. I mean, they have drafted some really quality people, and I love it. You know, when you mix in smarts with athleticism and a will to win, you've got some ingredients there for a winning football team.
Right. Football character is very, very important. That's one of the things that I think gets overlooked at a lot is, you know, what type of guys you're bringing into your locker room. And, you know, if you're bringing in a guy who wants to, you know, win and doesn't care about, you know, his numbers or anything like that and just wants to, you know, help the team win any way he can, you know, that's very important. You know, you want to develop that, you know, that roster that has one goal, one drive in mind. The next thing you know, you have a successful, you know, team, not only a team, but also an organization on and off the field as well. So definitely noticed that these years, you know, that's one of the things that Ryan Pace and John Fox, you know, give them credit when they came in, you know, that roster they inherited, we've said before, it was depleted of talent. It was depleted of leadership. It was depleted of a lot of things. And they cleaned house, got rid of all the guys who are, you know, me guys or guys who are going to care about their stats and started, you know, recouping some of those, you know, character guys and eventually now adding some talented guys along with character guys. So definitely see the uptick in the development of this roster and really, really, like I said, impressed at the job that Ryan Pace has been doing. I know he gets knocked sometimes in the media, but I really think he's doing a really solid job of not only improving the talent on the field, but also the character in the locker room. And also a character off the field as well.
I see Ryan Pace developing as a general manager. And if these two last draft classes pan out as I think that they will, you know, it's a really nice projection. Trajectory. That's the word.
I was trying to help you, but I wasn't sure where we were going with that.
It's a nice trajectory for the young GM. All right, let's talk about trajectory for Bilal Nichols. Their fifth round pick comes from Delaware, so he hasn't faced much competition, but is this guy an NFL football player? You tell me, Danny Shimon.
Well, he's got the size, right? He's got the size 6'4", 306 pounds. He's got almost 34-inch arms, which and 10 and a quarter hands, which is, you know, vital for when you're playing inside. He's a good athlete, you know. So, you know, obviously I haven't watched a lot of Delaware football. So when I put on his tape, I'm like, well, this guy's pretty good. And he's not like a sloppy 306-pound guy. He's a well-put-together, I call him blocky, athletic a kid, you know, who's got – if you look at his arms are pretty good definition. He moves well. He's got that short area quickness, which, you know, definitely jumps out on tape, you know, when you watch him play. So the one thing I put him on, I'm like, all right, let's see. And then right away, I want to see these kids from the small schools. I want to notice them. I don't have to, you know, look for their numbers or anything. I just want to see them pop on my tape. And you definitely notice him playing and making plays. He was, in my opinion, kind of misused at Delaware. I mean, they had him as a 3-4 nose tackle. I see him more as a 3-4 end, a 5 technique, or even if you put him in a 4-3, more of a upfield attacking defensive tackle. The one thing you notice about him is he's got sneaky athleticism and he's got bend. Which what that means is, you know, when they would have him loop or come around at the end as a defensive end at Delaware, you saw him have the ability to bend the corner and flex with flexion in his ankles, be able to reach around and get that edge to get to the quarterback. So surprising again for a guy who's 6'4" and 306 pounds. In my opinion, he was being played at a position that was not, you know, suited for him. So the Bears are going to move him to, you know, a defensive end position, which I think is much better for him. The one thing about him is he's got to just continue developing his game, right? Working on his game. He's got to continue working on his pass rush, develop that, you know, more. And also another guy that's got to get some strength and put some more muscle on him to be able to withstand and withhold his ground at the point of contact as a run defender.
This is Bears area scout Chris Prescott talking about how Bilal can help the Chicago Bears.
And I think you're talking about a guy who you expect year one to come in and probably immediately back up at all three positions. It's going to be up to him, you know, challenge. He's going to have to learn the playbook, make sure he knows all three positions. But I think this is a guy who would come in and help you right away. Obviously, his body will develop, so I think he can add a little bit more weight, which will help him obviously hold up at this level. He's going up against bigger guys. So his weight could go up a little bit, but we don't want him to get too heavy either because you need him to be able to play end and we need him to be able to play nose.
This guy is an athlete. I put together the highlight reel that you can find at bearsbarroom.com on all of these draft picks. First of all, they didn't have great camera work because it's Delaware, so it was all field level camera work. But you could still, like you said, the guy was popping up. He was just flying all over the field. And he's got all these great athletic traits for a big guy.
Right. And for a guy, like I said, 6'4 and 306 pounds, he's got that tremendous closing burst. You know, what that means is, you know, once he gets past the blocker, he can close in on the quarterback and get to him. You know, whether hurry him or sack him or hit him, at least, you know, he's got that ability. And that's something that, you know, notice, and especially for a guy, you know, this big. I'm surprised that they're going to play him at nose tackle to back up Eddie Goldman. But, you know, we'll see how that handles there. I see him more of an athletic end. So we'll see how it develops. But if he can come in and back up all three positions, again, another guy who's versatile. You know, you don't have to utilize a position just strictly for a backup nose tackle if, you know, this kid can develop into a nose tackle. So versatility, another kid who's got, you know, high football character, has a difficult background, you know, growing up and so on and so forth. So he's been through a lot. So this is, you know, this game's important to him. So we're the same theme here. We got athletes, we got guys with size, we got, you know, high character, passion for football, you know, we see that theme, right? You know, with all these picks coming up here. So, it was a bit of a surprise. Wait, to take him in the fifth round? Not really. I mean, I saw him more in the fifth, sixth round range. So I think where he took him was spot on.
Excellent. All right. We move now to the sixth round, the Bears selected Kylie Fitz. I love the name, first of all. When I was a kid, I would draft players, you know, based on their names, first and foremost. Kylie Fitz would have been a second rounder for me. Now, we saw him both at the Senior Bowl. I frankly didn't pay that much attention to him, but I went back and looked at Senior Bowl tape online, and boy, he had some excellent practices against guys like Alex Kappa, who we've talked a lot about here at Bears Barroom. The guy is impressive physical specimen, and then when the day that he was drafted, I immediately looked at his combine scores. Holy cow! I was like, this dude is an athlete. Tell me about what you've seen on Kylie Fitz.
Yes, you know, same thing. He's 6'4", 263 pounds. I think he ran a 4.6940. He's got the 33-inch arms. You know, I like my arms a little bit longer than that, but that's fine. That's all good. We ran a 6.883 cone, which we've discussed before, and he shows that tells us his ability to change directions quickly. So let us know that he could possibly drop back in coverage and be able to play some outside linebacker, which is where they're projecting him to play. The issues with him is just injuries. I mean, this kid was a highly recruited kid. And he went to UCLA and then eventually transferred to Utah. But, you know, his problem is just staying on the field. I believe he was forced to miss 17 of his 26 games the last two seasons.
Wow.
You know, with different ailments. So, you know, his issue, and I think the reason why he dropped this far is because of his inability to stay healthy. You know, when he had the one healthy season, he put up pretty good numbers. You know, I think it was his first year in Utah. So, you know, he had, I think, 7 sacks, 11 and a half tackles for loss, or something like that. So when he's healthy, he's productive. And when you watch him play, it means he's a high-energy, high-effort pass rusher. It means full go, 100 miles an hour, doesn't take a playoff, is, you know, strict, and he's got the initial quick step. He's got the ability to get the outside leverage, the outside shoulder off the tackle, and produce an outside pass rush. So he's got, another, you know, a guy with a good closing speed. He's got that good 10-yard split. So another guy will character is high, football character is high, loves the game. And we discussed earlier, you know, athlete, guy who can come off the edge and create a pass rush. My only thing with him is he's got to continue developing his pass rush moves, some of the counter moves, because a lot of times the tackle will just use his momentum and just carry him up past the quarterback up the field. I like to see him do some more counter, maybe, you know, work back inside or spin off of that, do like a little spin move. But got to stay healthy. If this kid stays healthy, and I believe Ryan Pace, you know, had said after the draft that, you know, they believe that none of these injuries were lingering or long-term, you know, kind of like freak injuries, if you will. So if he can stay healthy and stay on the field, this kid can come in and produce next year as one of the guys who can provide that pass rush that we were talking about.
Excellent. All right, let's move to the seventh round. And Javon, you know, I was going to say first about Fitz is that he seems like a guy who is going to be a perfect fit for the practice squad, right? It just seems like he's going to need a year to develop and probably not playing in NFL games for the next 12 months might help with regenerating the body and so that he can have a long, healthy NFL career. I'm just speculating here. But if he goes to the practice squad, one guy I think that could be the steal of this draft, one guy who could start contributing immediately is this seventh round pick, the 224th overall pick out of Georgia, the 6'3", 215-pound receiver, Javon Wims. How the hell was this guy still available so late in the draft? Because every time I pulled on a Georgia game, this guy was making key catches and winning football games.
Yep. And then I remember that our mock draft we did, I was trying so hard, lobbying so hard for this guy to be our seventh round pick. And I was outvoted by Phil and Shane and then our barflies. But I was another guy that I was really, really hoping the Bears would get. You know, at that point of the draft, you know, I thought maybe they were going to try and sign him as an undrafted free agent or if he went undrafted. But the fact to get this kid in the seventh round, and I mean, this guy, I believe, will contribute next season, okay, as a seventh round pick. You know, whether it's, you know, as a fourth receiver, you know, or on special teams or whatnot, but this kid will play next season. The things that I liked about him, you already mentioned, is size, 6'3", and 200 pounds. This, to me, is the replacement for Cam Meredith, okay? And this is the reason why I wanted to get him on the roster. He runs a 4.5 40. You know, he's got a 1.56 10-yard split. You know, his arm delivery is short, 31.5, but, you know, it's fine. What he does, though, is he is able to go up and get the ball. He's what I call a high point catcher. So, you know, if there's a 50-50 ball up there, he times it, goes up there, you know, gets the ball, brings it down, and can catch on contact, meaning there's a defender dripping over him. He can still, you know, catch the ball. The one thing that we got to keep in mind is this kid was a basketball player, okay, coming up. He went to JUCO, to junior college school, and then transferred to Georgia and only played two seasons. The first season, I think he only had like 17 receptions. So last year, his senior season was his first season as a full-time starter, and that's where he produced his best, you know, numbers, you know, 45 receptions, 720 yards, and 7 touchdowns. He's got incredible body control, plays with balance. He's got terrific, strong hands. So he'll be able to just, you know, snatch a ball out of the air. He can contour his body, adjust to the ball. He can lay out and make some tremendous what I call tiptoe catches on the sideline, where he's literally laid out on the sideline, you know, gets the ball clean. It would still be a catch in the NFL terms. He gets the ball, secures it, and he's literally laying parallel to the ground with his toes inbounds. So terrific seventh round pick. Like I said, I think this guy is going to make an impact next season on this team. And he's still developing, you know. And one thing is, I don't think he was utilized enough at Georgia, you know, because, you know, they had a freshman quarterback. They had a two-headed monster running back, two really talented runners you know, it was a heavy run offense. I think this guy wasn't used as much. And so I think his best football is to come.
I'm so excited. I really am. You know, you look at this draft class, and it is every single one of these players is 21st century football. These guys fit today's game. You know, again, I hate to be critical of John Fox. It's like kicking a dead man but everything that John did from a football perspective just felt like 1980s, 90s football. Now with this new coach, now with the players that are being injected into the roster, everything is feeling right about the player personnel, coaching decisions, and so forth. I'm just psyched, man. This is great.
And it's something that we've discussed previously. It's you see a cohesiveness between the front office and the coaching staff. The coaching staff has told the front office, these are the kind of players we want. The front office knows what they want. knows what the coaches want, and they go out and they get these players. Every one of these, my expectation is every one of these seven picks will make the roster next year. Mm-hmm. You know, I know we were talking about maybe Fitz making the practice squad and so on and so forth. I mean, I think these guys all can contribute some way, somehow next year, whether it's as a backup, whether it's a, you know, on special teams, you know, whether it's as a third or fourth receiver. I think every one of these players can, and you know, contribute next year. And I think all of them, my expectation is they're all going to make the roster next year. So another thing about Wims, you know, he played in a pro style system at Georgia, right? So what that means is he ran pro routes. He understands pro concepts. So you know, this is going to be a guy that some of the stuff that he's going to be seeing here in his Bears playbook are not, you know, they're not like a foreign language to him. He knows, you know, he knows what to look for. He knows how to run his route. He knows how to get open. The one of the biggest knocks, speaking of getting open, is he doesn't create much separation at the top of his route. But the fact that, you know, he can extend away from his body and get the ball, and it doesn't have to be a perfect pass. He's got that short area quickness where he can create the minor separation, but not, you know, really a big gap separation. So, you know, this kid is going to come in, open up some eyes, and, you know, if, don't be surprised by end of training camp or an early part of the season. You know, we're seeing this kid make plays, big plays, you know, on Sundays for the Bears.
Is comparing him to Brandon Marshall stupid?
Marshall was a bit bigger. Marshall was more of a physical specimen than this kid is. Don't get me wrong. This kid's got a, you know, pretty good, pretty nice frame, but he's not the beast that Marshall was.
Gotcha.
You know, you know, speed wise, it probably, this guy might be a little bit faster than Marshall. I remember what his time when he was coming out of school, but Marshall was more of a bigger, more aggressive player, I'd say, and more polished receiver when he came out.
Right.
You know, this guy's still developing. You know, the fact that he's played in a pro style system is tremendous, you know, benefit to him. But I, trust me, I think the receivers that the Bears got this year are going to be starters or heavy contributors immediately. And when was the last time we said that about a receiver the Bears drafted?
Yes, it's been a while. It's been a while. Danny Shimon, you've broken this down for us in such a masterful way. I feel like we're much better informed, much better football fans because of the information that you've shared. I thank you deeply, not only for what you've done here, but also your scouting reports that people can find at bearsbarroom.com. And I've got exciting news for people. Danny's going to be joining us more frequently on our podcast. You're going to see more of his writing. He and I are talking about his role here at Bears Barroom, some really cool stuff ahead. I am really, really happy to be partnering with you on our enterprise here, Danny. I am very grateful for everything you do.
Likewise, I'm very excited about our future endeavors at the Bears Barroom. I love working with the guys. The guys are all tremendous, and you know, bigger and better things ahead for us.
I can't wait to get you, Shane, and Phil on another show and have you guys debate a player and have each of you present three different perspectives on the same player. That just makes for great radio. I love that stuff.
Oh yeah, it's entertaining. It's fun.
Very.
Yeah,
entertaining.
So that's what Scott's do. Scott's get in a room and they all have you know, their favorite player, or they like this trade or that trade about a player, and we just, you know, hammer it out and just dish it out. You know, it sounds violent, but it's all football. It's all fun. You know, it's fun stuff. So.
Well,
and I would love to discuss it with those guys. Those guys are fun too.
They are. The only bad thing is that everybody seems to agree that this is an excellent draft class. But there's going to be much to debate coming ahead, and we'll find it and present it to you here at Bears Barroom Radio Network. Danny, thanks.
One other thing I do want to add just real quick is sure. Don't forget these undrafted free agents. You know, some of these kids are also going to have a chance to make a roster. You know, we talked about the corner Kevin Tolliver, Ryan Nall, the running back out of Oregon State. Might be a fullback slash, you know, H-back possibility here. The kid out of Dubuque, Michael, I think it was Michael Joseph is his name, or Johnson, cornerback.
Yes, Johnson.
Johnson. So these kids have a chance to make this roster as well. So, you know, we got these seven picks, and we're all excited about these seven picks. But also keep an eye on these undrafted free agents. You know, they're going to have a chance to make this roster. They're going to have a chance to make an impact as well. You know, a lot of these guys that are in their third, fourth year on the roster right now, you know, they should start looking over their shoulders and just say, hey, you know, they've got these new infusion of athletes and guys who are, you know, coming for my job. So this training camp and this, and I'm kind of glad we got that extra preseason game, just so we can see more of these players.
Exactly.
You know, a lot of times, you know, we'll see a couple of them here or there, glimpses in and out. But I want to see, you know, the first game. It should be pretty much all these players should be playing that first game. You know, the rookie class as well as, you know, the first, second year, you know, guys. But, you know, the second and eventually probably even the fifth game, we'll see a lot of these rookies and undrafted free agents try and make the squad. So this is going to be a very, very, very entertaining, very interesting preseason as well as training camp.
Well, I had Colin Thompson on one of our previous podcasts. He's like the fourth or fifth or maybe even sixth string tight end on the Bears depth chart. And he said the same thing. I am blessed that we have the fifth preseason game because that, particularly that Hall of Fame game, he's probably going to get a lot of playing time there. This is a 6'4" tight end who his pedigree is to block, block, block. But he told me, you know, I can do much more than that. I'm looking for an opportunity to prove it. So These camp battles that begin actually this week with rookie mini camp, and that's more of an indoctrination to just teaching the playbook and so forth. But as the camps continue on and when they really begin in August, we're going to see these great camp battles, and we're going to be reporting here on Bears Barroom. Radio Network is going to be out there at camp and looking at the players live and sharing our thoughts about these guys and these camp battles. That is just as an intriguing storyline as the games themselves. And the fans don't get an opportunity to see that. So we're going to do it ourselves for you. See and report right here on Bears Barroom Radio Network. And Danny Shimon is going to be a part of it. Yay!
And then one thing I predict, there will be either a training camp or in-game fight between Anthony Miller and a defensive back. Whether it's going to be a guy on the Bears or it's going to be a guy on the opposing team, he's going to get into the face. He's going to make a play. He's going to get into the face of the corner, and there's going to be some pushing and shoving going on after the play. I predict that.
I think it's going to be Rashard Font. Where's he out of Indiana? You're right. Because from what I've been reading about him, this guy is got a nasty disposition, and he's a bit undersized, so he's going to be out there battling.
That's a good call, because Font probably will play inside at the slot corner, and yep. Then if you move Miller inside, there you go.
That's one thing
we're going to keep an eye on.
You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. Font versus Miller. Danny, listen, happy Mother's Day to your mom and the mother of your children, and just have a great weekend. Thanks for, all of the work that you've put in to give us all of this fantastic information, and I can't wait to talk to you again soon.
Thank you, and happy Mother's Day to your lovely wife and all the mothers out there.
That's right. I second that emotion. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. Don't forget to head over to bearsbarroom.com. That's where you can check out all of Danny's detailed scouting reports. And next week here at the Bears Barroom Radio Network, we've got tons of stuff going on. Bears Hour Live with Draft Dr. Phil on Monday, another Bears 100 Proof with another special guest in the middle of the week, and then another Bears on Tap at the end of the week. So we're loaded with fun stuff on the network here in the month of May. No NFL games, but there's plenty to talk about, so it's going to be a lot of fun. And don't forget that if you drink, please do not drive, and always bear down.